Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Hi, how's your lasagna?
Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong.
I said, tell me more.
You're sick, Aaron.
I know.
I do know. Hey, welcome back to Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week.
And I am Ben, your sunshine and Gotham, the baby brother. And I am happy to introduce that we have a special guest this episode. Please welcome Jake's only friend and one of my good friends, Harold.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome.
Hi, Harold. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
It has been a while since we've had any
here episodes. On the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where three brothers get together to talk about all things The Dark Knight. We will be talking about the Justice League. So, Harold, as the guest, you brought a beverage. Do you want to tell us what the beverage is you brought?
Yes. So, today's cocktail is the Wonder Woman, which I found online.
Beautiful.
The Wonder Woman is a layered cocktail.
So,
it is triple O Very Vodka with cranberry juice and a bit of grenadine. And then on the, so that's the top layer, and then the bottom layer, so the top layer is red, in case you, for those of us are at home that are not looking at the Facebook.
Yeah.
The top layer is red because of the cranberry juice. And then the bottom is blue curacao, so you layer them, so it's blue and then red, and then it has a lemon twist to represent the lasso of truth, so it's the Wonder Woman.
Awesome, so, thank you.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Well done,
cheers.
Thank you.
I do have a question. Is that the correct pronunciation of the blue beverage? Because I think we've said it 42 different ways on this
podcast. That's how we say it now, right?
We've said it like that.
I think
that's
said
very
that
tasty. Right. Thank you, Harold.
It's going to be very berry.
Very berry. I like it.
Like Barry Allen.
Oh, very good.
Wow.
He's not in this book.
No, Wally's in it.
No.
All right, so Harold, since this is your first time on the Brotherhood of Batman, we have some questions for you to let our fans, all three of them, including Jake's mother-in-law, know about
you. Hi, Jake's mother-in-law.
So, Harold, how many episodes of our show have you listened to?
I have listened to...
I'm just kidding.
Probably
zero is a number.
Zero is more than zero. I've listened to more than zero, but maybe less than 20.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
That's fine. I mean, we've only recorded like 200.
So. I know. You know what's sad is Taggart has listened to more than probably twice as many as I have.
I only make that joke because we are officially in the countdown to 200 now.
Ooh,
so.
Okay.
Well, I'm a little stressed about it because I promised a special episode and we are months away.
This actually marks 190, so it's the countdown now has begun.
Yeah.
And we'll have to get Taggart on here since he is a fan.
He's actually listened to more of your episodes than I have. Yes, he has.
Very nice.
Yeah. We'll keep counting down as we go through episodes until we get to 200.
All right, Harold. So which brother are you most associated with?
I am most associated with Jake. I'm sorry.
I get
Ben.
Second place. It's
fine. You do. Yes.
How do you know Jake?
Many years ago, I went to college.
Hang on. I need to insert some harp music.
I went to college at Webster University. Around the corner from the apartment I lived in was a fun little comic book shop that I started going to.
I worked there.
To get comics and also to play Magic the Gathering. And there was a young lad, Jake, that worked there too. And he and I started to go out with the little group of people after Thursday Night Magic League.
Yeah.
I would go and watch Friends, and then I would go play Thursday Night Magic League. This was the 90s, everybody. And that's what you did. And then we would go to Applebee's after. And we did that for years.
Get cheese sticks.
Yes.
And fried chicken salads.
Basically,
all good microwaved foods.
Very nice.
Yeah, and then Jake left and went to Chicago, and Ben worked at the comic book shop too for a while.
It's true. That is a thing that
happened.
That's
very nice.
And I think I met Aaron.
I probably had some movie, some like
probably
nerd
some
movie.
Random things.
And you went to Wizard World, right? Chicago too.
What's that?
Yeah, you've been to the
couple
times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now you've been, as long as I've known you, a big comic fan. other than, I mean, we're going to be talking about DC. It'll probably come out. Other than DC, what are you reading or what do you like the most?
I am a huge X-Men fan, and I primarily read X-Men, not exclusively. Yes, I know you knew that. not exclusively. So X-Men and then some Avengers stuff. I did read a ton of Batman when I was younger, and then I just fell off the Batman wagon. Honest, and I also even more read a lot of Justice League when I was younger, and then they did the new 52 stuff, and I just fell off the Justice League wagon so hard and have not really ever gotten back on it.
Interesting.
So you were probably reading when the book that we're going to talk about today was coming out.
Yeah, funny enough, you asked me, and I went through my comic issues, and I had issue number 2.
Oh.
And I had never bought issues 1 or 3 or found them. I don't know why.
Was
I only had issue 2. I don't know why. So, yeah, so I bought the rest of the issues now, so now I have them all. But
it's a good excuse to have to buy some more comics.
Yeah.
Were they like $2 online?
Yeah, basically. I think they were, I think I spent like $12, but it was these and then some other Justice League miniseries that I hadn't owned that's way more in the future from these. And so I got a whole, I'm like, oh, why not? A whole stack.
Nice.
And Harold, if you had to say, who would your favorite superhero be?
My favorite superhero. That's a tough choice. Wow. You got to prep people with these questions.
No, we like to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, we like to make you uncomfortable. Yeah. Sure. I would assume it'd be in the X-Men, if that's the case.
My favorite superhero or the favorite superhero I'd want to be? Was it? What did you ask me?
Oh, I just asked you your favorite.
However you want to answer that.
However you want to answer.
All right. I'm a huge Jean Grey fan.
Ah.
So I like Jean Grey.
So evil. Got it.
Sometimes she's evil. Sometimes she's good. It's complicated. She's a complicated person.
Much like Ben.
Sometimes she, incinerates the White Queen after infidelity issues with her ex-husband. It happens.
Sometimes she has short hair.
Sometimes she cuts her hair off,
All right. Are we ready to talk about the book?
Yeah. Harold, what did we read?
We read Justice League Midsummer's Nightmare, which was originally published as 3 separate issues, not part of any ongoing Justice League book. In fact, it was between the end of one of the Justice League books and the beginning of a reset of Justice League books. I actually read this online, because I didn't remember that.
Thanks for just doing the only thing I bring to the show. But
Sorry. Well, you can recap your history. Anyway, so it was 3 issues, but it wasn't part of any ongoing title called Justice League Midsummer's Nightmare. In it, Justice League finds themselves. They wake up in this weird world. And as a reader, you're not sure if it's like an alternate universe or what's going on, but they don't know who they are. They only know their human halves, basically. So it's just, Bruce Wayne, it's just Kyle, it's just Wally, it's just Arthur, goes by Arthur, who I keep forgetting is Aquaman's actual first name, and Diana. Artie Curry.
Artie.
And they're living their little lives and they don't know that they're superheroes quite yet. And everyone else seems to be gaining magic or superhero powers around them. Millions of people in the world are getting magic powers. But then something happens, and of course, they slowly remember who they are and try to figure out what's going on and who's doing it.
Nice.
And that's Midsummer's Nightmare. Yeah.
So, what was the Justice League team right before this one? Who was on that?
This one, right? These people, Batman, Green Lantern, specifically Kyle, Green Lantern.
Before
I don't think
this?
They changed the team.
So, this is. This is the first culmination of what modern comic readers consider the Big 7. So the Justice League had a rotating
roster,
thank you, for a very long time.
Aaron and I are just sitting here.
all the way back to...
We like to let Jake struggle as long as we can.
Sorry, I didn't know there was a theme. All right.
Back to Martian Manhunter, Flash, Aquaman... Black Canary,
Aaron's
Green
favorite.
Lantern, Hal Jordan, starting up the team.
Like he hates her.
Oh, poor Black Canary. Which one? The 1 or 2?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
Batman and Superman were always official members, but they never were on the regular roster. They weren't expected to show up to all the missions. They were there if they needed to be called in. Wonder Woman, it changes whether or not she was a founding member. It goes back and forth in different retcons. Sometimes she is, sometimes she's not. Anyways, so it's gone through a lot of different team-ups. We read during our Nightfall review, Justice League Task Force.
Yeah, which was like a hodgepodge of...
Yeah, it's a hodgepodge of like street level characters.
And that was an ongoing, that was a separate title at the time.
Yes, because right. there was a Justice League of America right. but that had just come to an end. And so this is bringing what is referred to as the Big Seven or the Seven back together and starting the new Justice League that'll be going forward all the way up through today, except one character gets swapped for another character.
Gotcha.
Spoilers.
Okay, so I was asking because I thought that this was the introduction, but it did seem... Oh, God. They referenced, like, each other, and they referenced it going back to them. So it definitely was set up like it wasn't their first time together, so I was a little confused.
So the Justice League has been around since Brave and the Bold 28, way, way back when, and they're... The
Aaron was what, five then?
Maybe.
I don't, yeah. What year was that? 1960.
Okay.
So,
well, none of us was born. Not. Thank God.
I think you two are the same age.
Are we?
How old are you?
I am over 40.
I'm 44.
Oh, okay. He's older.
Fair.
Yeah.
But
have you seen The Boys, Harold?
No, I haven't. It's on my list to watch, but I haven't.
They're the superhero team, and that is referred to as the Seven. So when you talk about the Seven in here, it just makes me think of The Boys, which I'm excited for the next season of that, by the way. Anyway.
So building up to this, reviewing this, I asked Noah, I'm like, if you're thinking about the Justice League, who are the Justice League members to you? And he rattled off Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern,
did
Aquaman,
he say Cyborg?
Flash, and Cyborg.
Oh, he's because from the movie.
Well, I think from New 52, they upgraded Cyborg out of the Titans into the Justice League.
And they dumped Manhunter, right?
And they dumped Manhunter.
So they took...
I really like Manhunter.
I like him too. But he basically is the stand-in non-white person in this cast. And so they replaced him with an actual non-white person.
Yeah. And when
opposed to just
about...
adding another one. But
right,
whatever.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Early 2000s DC, you don't have a lot to choose from at that point, unfortunately. So they just grabbed one.
I mean, technically Aquaman's Atlantean, but you know.
Well, sure, with his yellow hair.
Well, that comes up in the comics a lot. Because he's half and gets his blonde from his mother's side. And Atlanteans aren't normally blonde.
So I read this in trade and passed it around to my brothers, but you have the three single issues, which have a panoramic cover.
It's so pretty.
Usually I'm a stickler for it.
Yes.
Usually I'm like,
I didn't even
triptych.
Know. That's pretty awesome.
But yeah.
Usually. So you're not a fan?
Are we into the talking about the comic now?
Yeah, we talk about whatever the fuck we want.
So,
This is more organized than any episode we've ever done.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
I'm not a fan of the art in this. Sorry to the artists. Actually, there's two of them because it switches artists midstream, which I also find disconcerting when they do that.
Oh, yes.
But, no.
I'm talking about you, Liam Sharp.
I'm not a fan of the cover artist. I think Diana, no offense to her either, but I think she looked like she went to the Magic House and touched those big static electricity globes. I'm not sure. I know they're trying to be all angry, but they come off as, I don't know. It just doesn't come. I'm not a fan of the art. Not for the cover and not so much on the interior.
I like the cover
for the first artist.
Lot
the second
more.
Artist, when they switch to the second artist, he's not so bad.
Mm. I like the cover a lot more than the interior. I think the interior for me suffers from trying to do the like, we're going to draw everyone as like generically as we can because there's so many people that you really just have to look at their outfits.
Is that
right?
I think you did that. Oh, okay.
There's a lot. Yeah, like I think the
I don't
art
think it's
really
good.
Got lost when they tried to do. The regular people becoming heroes, I think those became very muddy, very disjointed. There wasn't a lot of like definition. You had a real hard time like distinguishing who was who.
Yeah, because in the story, Harold explained in his recap, all of the seven, all the big superheroes are presumably depowered. They're somebody. They're only their mild manner versions of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Diana is a school teacher at a like women's prep school. Arthur is a activist figurehead of a like a whaling company or something like that, or even is it? It's like a
it's
fish
not on
food
the nose
company
at all.
Or something.
It's a fishing company. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Bruce's parents are alive, which
is fun. Actually, I kind of thought that was like, well, here was one interesting piece of this entire thing. In this world, Bruce's parents and the main hunters, his wife and child, are still alive
on Mars.
On Mars,
yeah, they're still on Mars. Yeah,
he was very upset about it when he learned the truth.
Yeah. I liked the Bruce Wayne stuff as well, but I also really liked what they did with Kyle. And so Kyle is an artist.
Non-ironically, he's a comic book artist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, it's very meta. He's like
writing the story.
And
yeah.
He's writing Green Lantern.
Yes.
Which yeah, actually, I like that too. That's fun.
I enjoyed that part a lot. Yeah.
So in the, we've talked about Kyle, but mostly just as Green Lantern, is he a comic artist or is he just an artist?
There's times where he's a comic artist. I don't know how. Harold, you read some Kyle.
I actually read a lot of Green Lantern in the beginning. I like Kyle a lot. He's one of my favorite Green Lanterns. He's usually a comic artist, but I think he's like artist first, does a lot of comic book work when they bother to try to tell his human life.
Yeah.
Many times he's off world for, you know, years at a time or whatever. But
I don't think at this point in his ongoing story, I could be wrong, but the him writing comic or him illustrating comic books that I remember comes much later. So I think this is just playing with the idea that it's something he wanted to do. I don't think he was successful at it at this point yet.
I agree.
I feel like he would draw Superboy comics. That's what I feel like his strength would be. The Hornball Superboy comics.
Specifically '90s Superboy with the leather jacket.
That's what I feel like he would draw.
Yeah.
In between drawing like the illustrations for like refrigerator commercials.
Steadier work than he's got. I do like the part where his editor like in the thing, he's the comic book artist, but he has a mental block, so he can't finish the Green Lantern comic he's working on for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Also, it is a bit. I mean, you know, we got to cut corners here, but. He's also writing it, I guess. He's writing it and drawing it, which is atypical for these kinds of things. But so he has a writer's block. He can't figure the plot, even though he's also the artist. But obviously it's because he's secretly Green Lantern and not actually a mild-mannered comic book artist.
Spoiler.
But no, I found it funny. But I did like the fact that the editor keeps calling in the background and leaving like increasingly angry and more like
harassing messages.
I found that was funny. So... I liked the story partially. I did not like the art until they switched the second artist, and then I didn't mind it. But I didn't like the ending at all. Not that we're jumping ahead. I did not care for
the ending. You could jump all around. That's fine.
I did not care for the ending at all. They fight him, and then they're easily defeated by the secret villain that we find out. Easily defeated, like super easily. And then the guy just disappears. And it's like, ha ha ha. And I'm like, what the heck did I just read?
Like he threw Superman in space level of power. It's
right.
Like, what
was
did you just
fucking
do?
Terrible too.
I agree. I enjoyed the beginning of this story a lot. Like seeing all of them in their little mild-mannered forms and trying to figure out the mystery behind it and everything. Once it became just a regular superhero book is when I kind of lost interest. But I really like how they brought in all the characters. I liked their little banter with each other. It was definitely laying the groundwork, clearly, for a team-up book.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like, two-thirds of my notes are the first issue, like, building this world where everybody besides the big seven superheroes are super powered.
Yeah,
like
millions of people are super powered.
Yeah, it seems like everybody, and they're all waiting for their spark to happen. They're all waiting for their power to come. And those who aren't, which are our current superheroes, are wondering why they aren't gifted like everybody else is.
Did you guys get connections to Syndrome in The Incredibles?
Oh.
When everyone is super, no one will be.
Now that you say it.
No.
I don't know.
I was thinking very much.
Stuck
so
in my head when I was.
This is written by Mark Waid. It had a very familiar tone to Kingdom Come.
Sure.
With the superpowered.
Sure.
And
everyone's
the
getting superpowers,
there.
And the world is going to potentially go to crapshoot because, you know, that's what.
Yeah. When everybody.
It's building
to
this huge
up.
Battle, you know. Superpowered gang riots break out, basically, in the comic book.
Do you think, I'm just going to throw this question out there, do you guys think it was fair to drag John Jones out of his reality that he has now been put in to bring him back to where his family is gone? Or is it more ethical to leave him where he was happy, well, even if it's a false reality?
Doesn't Wonder Woman say ethics don't matter, we have to do what's right, which is really just her deciding what's right?
Right. I don't know. I'm asking.
I think they knew maybe they couldn't leave him there because they had to break the spell or whatever was going to happen.
Because they couldn't do it without him.
They couldn't do it without him. But
yeah, they were selfish.
Yeah, extremely selfish. I'm not a big Martian Manhunter fan. I just haven't read a lot with him. I loved how upset he was after they broke him out of his reality. He's like, fuck you, I hate you all. Like, well,
and not only did they break him out of the reality, but I mean, I felt it was a little on the nose, but his family burns to death again.
Yeah.
Like, right in front of him. Again. Like, and I'm like,
I kind of
it's
felt
one thing
for
to break him out of the reality. Do you really need to kill his family by fire again?
They could have just
faded
away.
Or something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
Kind of harsh.
I felt that that was a little like there was no lead up to that. They're like, oh no, another superhero team is here. Oh no, the building's on fire. Oh, they're dead. Like within the same page. Not that canister of oil, you know. I'm like, oh my God.
So anyway, John, you want to help us out here?
We can really use you, you know. So he has been a member of the JLA for a while, and he was one of the members that kept going between all the different teams. He was part of the Task Force Justice League and everything. So I'm wondering if maybe, and maybe we'll find out, I don't know, but maybe they're using this as kind of a reset for his characterization. Maybe he is going to be resentful for being brought back into the team after this. And I actually kind of hope that that happens going forward, that maybe he's got a little bit of bitterness in him because he saw that there was a better life without all this heroing bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't think they address it again, but
well,
I could be
totally
wrong.
That's a little disappointing,
wrong.
So I will be looking for it. Maybe it'll happen.
Well, yeah, to answer your original question, though, I think they did what they had to do. I mean, they pulled him out. Also, they probably realized that they needed him, but even if they didn't need him, if they found some other magic way to get rid of whatever was Dr. Destiny that was controlling this entire thing, that they know of anyway, I mean, it would fade anyway. That's their goal. Right, so it's not like his family can actually stick around long term. They're magicked into, you know, his subconscious is like basically a hallucination. He's hallucinating them. They're not really. They didn't come back to life only to die again.
Right,
it's a hallucination.
And so by keeping that information from him, is it going to keep them alive?
Yeah.
So
it's not like they were alive.
And Martha had her pearls broken again. So
she did.
They had to go through that.
She kind of deserved it because they were both kind of like assholes. Which really,
they were pricks. Yeah, they were pricky
like
versions.
His parents, which kind of like the Joker movie. His parents were kind of assholes in that. In the new Batman, have you seen the new Batman?
I'm boycotting it.
His parents are kind of portrayed as, you know, not the most up,
not
and up.
The saviors that they often are. Yeah.
So I kind of saw some parallels between that, but
yeah, and I like tearing down the Waynes from time to time. I like that. There's enough history there that they're built up as these figureheads of great humanitarianism, and then you rip them down a couple notches.
Well, they're the 1%. Like, looking at them in today's society, like, they're probably not going to have been great people.
And the more damaged they are, the more believable Bruce's psychological issues become, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
besides the secret brother that we never know about.
We'll
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Sorry.
I was like, what?
Bobby Wayne.
Bobby Wayne.
Can you fly, Bobby?
Bobby Timmy Wayne. He's from Georgia.
Sorry. Yeah.
Tim was in this.
Oh, yeah.
For 2 seconds.
Oh, my God.
So
I hated that part, too, by the way.
Why'd you hate that part?
He, like, is outside. First of all, Bruce Wayne does not have a newspaper delivery boy come to his front door to deliver his newspaper. Tim or
is that
not.
What Tim was doing?
Yes, he was he was the newspaper boy.
Well,
he totally
neighbor.
Gets Alfred to get it.
He's a right. Yes, exactly. Like, Bruce Wayne is never going to interact with the newspaper delivery boy. And the delivery is like, oh, Mr. Wayne, is that you? I guess you finally sparked. Please, Tim. And then the mom's like, Tim, don't bother Mr. Wayne. And I'm like, none of this is happening. Where is this happening? Like, are they all in the car? What's going on?
I think it was just...
he was from Newsies. I feel we dumped into Newsies the musical. No,
I mean, if it wanted to be a musical, I wouldn't be mad about it. I
he even had the hat. He had the stupid hat.
He did have the Newsies hat. He had a job to do, Harold. So I liked all the little cameos. Like, even Aquaman had, like, Dolphin in here. Like, all of them had their supporting cast in, like, a neutered way. And so I kind of liked trying to catch those moments.
I didn't mind the idea. I hated the execution.
It's fair. You're allowed to hate it.
So speaking of the Robins, who is your favorite Robin, Harold?
Who's my favorite Robin?
Yeah, just
Dick Grayson.
That's the right answer.
We've discussed that it's all based on your age. And Harold's old.
Thanks. No, he's read an appropriate
your
amount
Robin?
To know.
You're old too.
I'd go with Dick right now.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I mean, he's the least stupid Robin. Sorry, Ben. In terms of intelligence quotient.
Harold, you have to come on
That's
more
That's why
often.
You're Jake's friend. So
we're talking about ripping Martian Manhunter out of his dream state.
Oh, yeah.
So the first two.
Oh, I imagined his hat. Oh my God, I imagined his stupid.
You
hat.
Are like making up all sorts of shit. There's no hat.
There is in my canon now.
A bicycle.
Oh, I didn't even picture the paper. Yeah, there's papers.
He literally had a bicycle delivering like rolled
I mean,
up 20
that,
rolled up newspapers.
That could be his homework.
Here,
he could just be
give
writing
me a copy.
Home
I'll
from
draw
the...
a hat on him. Draw your copy. So Martian Manhunter is in this dream state, but the first two that are able to pull themselves out of it are Clark and Bruce.
Are we shocked?
Which obviously I like. The big two are the ones that are going to have to. They decide that this is a big enough problem that they need a team. They've got to go put together more help. And does this feel like a Justice League level movie? No, but they got to go put a team together. And they divide up who they're going to go get. And before anybody says anything, I have to talk about my favorite scene in this entire fucking story. Is when Bruce... No, not that one. That one's sweet. I'm glad you like that one with Clark and Diana. When Bruce goes to talk to Arthur.
Oh, that scene.
And he's like, Arthur, you're really a superhero. And Arthur's like, no, I'm just an activist.
This one.
And he takes his fucking head and jams it into a fish tank.
And there's a goldfish in the fish tank.
He swirlies Aquaman to get him to wake up.
I did enjoy that.
It works.
I laughed and I laughed.
Yeah. And then he's not even mad at him. He's just back to business.
Well, he's like, he wakes up. He's like, oh, it explains why I've been taking showers for the last two issues solid. Because they show him in the shower like twice.
Frowning.
Yes. He's too sad. But yeah.
I did like this. This is,
I love that.
This art wasn't bad. This one wasn't bad. I guess you're right. When there's only two of them, it's not so bad. But when there's 50 of them.
They simplify it and just focus on their outfits and make them look all bubbly.
Oh, speaking of, I do not care for ponytail Clark Kent. Do not. Not a fan of...
Well, welcome to the podcast.
Not a fan of
We have been talking a lot about the ponytails of the 90s and how they're starting to lose them. Dick Grayson just lost his ponytail.
Yep.
The Nightwing
got chopped off.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he has... So, Clark has a mullet.
Yes.
Total...
The ponytails are how they measured the passage of time back in the 90s.
Okay. but when he's at the news... So, when he's just like... slumming around town, he just has a mullet. But when he's in the newsroom, he full on has like a ponytail with a little scrunchie in the back.
Gotta there. Keep it professional.
Yes, I guess that's the professional
version. Why did Kyle and Wally never get ponytails? They would look crazy.
Kyle has the bangs.
Wally would end up looking like Impulse, and we don't need that to happen.
And Wally has a hat. He needs to keep his hair short for his cap.
You could cut a hole in it, and you could have a pony coming out of it like
Jesse
Quick. Jesse Quick had a ponytail.
That'd be like a deadly thing. Like if he makes a turn, the ponytail just keeps going.
What if it gets like a little hotter at the as you know the ponytail?
It would absolutely burn up. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sad.
He could whip it around like a helicopter and fly.
Sorry. Okay. I just had to talk about the ponytail for a second.
No,
none
please.
Of the other ones have a ponytail, just Superman.
Aquaman does have long hair, but it's not.
He never puts it in a scrunchie.
Correct.
I feel like Aquaman, well, I guess in the movies he does.
In the comics, he often
and he
has
does, yeah, yeah from hair. Like the mid 80s on, yeah. He has long hair.
Sometimes he has a beard, sometimes he doesn't, but he has long hair most of the time.
And this is Hook Hand Aquaman, my favorite.
So, yeah, so he's. Now I'm out of time. Now I'm out of sequence. He's lost his hand, right? Because he has the shield armor, right?
Yeah, it got eaten
by piranhas. We did not cover
piranhas.
It in the show. We talk about it a little
bit,
though.
But this is post Piranha. Where he's lost his hand. So he officially has lost his hand. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
To piranhas.
It was sad.
Which is ironic.
You didn't talk about that show because it wasn't Batman, right?
We did talk about it.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we read it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Was it Justice League?
We read that.
Oh.
We read just the issue where he got his hand bitten off.
Oh. I don't know why we read it, but we read
just to see Aquaman get his hand bitten off.
Well, wasn't it like supposed to be metaphorical? Like the oceans were angry with him, and that's why the piranha bit his hand off?
No, a bad guy grabbed his arm and just shoved his hand in the piranha. He's like, talk to these fish, bitch.
Why did the piranha bite his hand off?
He was trying to...
Because they're piranhas. They're little fuckers. They don't pay attention.
He's the king of the ocean.
No, he had been talking to him about how he had been losing his power, and he was spending too much time in the world.
It was kind of a metaphor. Like he's losing his power. That's why the fish bit him. Okay.
So,
kind of. I mean, not a metaphor. It was like a example of him losing his power.
And he was saying, I can talk to fish, but they don't have to listen to me, kind of thing.
And apparently that one didn't.
Nope. Or that swarm of them didn't.
Nice.
So after the big world building and then drawing all of the superheroes out of their dream worlds and making them be superheroes again, we get into a very formulaic superhero team-up fight-the-villain story.
Yeah.
And it kind of... I absolutely agree with what you guys said. I think it devolves from there. It just... It doesn't have as much to stand on. I think it was a great premise of a story, and then it just didn't quite stick the landing. There were a couple good moments in the end, I thought. So they meet the people behind this, Dr. Destiny and No Man...
Not a fan of the stupid name.
No, it was a really bad name.
Yes. Yeah. No Man.
K-N-O-W-M-A-N.
Yeah.
Horrible. And his space. So
this is his first and only appearance. So thank God.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And Dr. Destiny is a
positive. And so he
thank you, letter columns.
Yeah. Which also pisses me off, too, right? He's this hugely superpowered, like, world controlling villain, and we never see him again. So, like, I hate that. Oh, whoop, here we written him in just for funsies, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Well, he's too overpowered that
he leaves.
You can't.
Where does he go?
We it's going to be a big topic of discussion for us going forward on the show is how do you create a threat big enough for these seven, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or how do you make one personal enough for them? And that's about the only two stories that you can tell when you take the seven mightiest heroes, the biggest characters DC has to offer, and put them on the same team. Like, you have to just keep escalating the situation, and sometimes you reach a ceiling, I think.
Yeah.
And that's when you have them fight each other.
I didn't mind that they invented a new villain, because that happens so much that I've just gotten, you know, whatever.
Sure.
I hate the name, but I did hate how it ended, where he just is like... He is like, oh, you defeated me. Good job. You foiled my plans. I'm going to go to plan B. Guess what? Some other big villain is coming. And he just teleports away.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even really defeat him. He chooses to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it ends. And they're we should make the Justice League.
What if he comes back?
Yeah.
Well, the weird thing about them not using him again is that since it's written by Mark Waid, he eventually writes the Justice League ongoing series, and it's like he could have brought this person back, and even he was like, meh, fuck it.
I'm going to check real quick while we're talking. I'm pretty sure he does not come back. I know this is his first appearance. I wrote that note, so I apologize if I misspoke.
Or if they do, it's some horrible like one-off where they find him in like a tube in one of the huge crossovers Earth 17.
God.
Well, we did find out that he was a super smart cave dude long ago.
Oh, yes. That's right. We get a backstory. This is where the art actually isn't bad, I don't think, because they switch artists. So I don't mind this art. Yeah, they give him a history that's tied to the Green Lantern Guardians. And he's a
and
cave
the
dude.
Controllers.
The controllers, which I don't... Yeah. I read a lot of Green Lantern, but I'm missing the controllers. Were the controllers a real thing?
Yeah, they're the opposite of the Illas. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And they are a part of things. So he is mentioned in one other issue besides these three. That's the only time he's...
I have a question about the caveman. Did it look like a loincloth to you, or did it look like pubic hair?
Where? I didn't spend that long.
here, I'm going to say no out of control pubic hair.
Yeah.
That is definitely his out of control pubic hair.
Yeah.
They
gross.
Make a subtle reference to Vandal Savage in there, too. As picking, like, yeah, it could have been
catch that through him skimming.
It could have been him or the guy that ends up being No Man.
Exposition? So. I don't need to read this.
Fair.
Plot? No. Villain background? No.
I did, for a Batman moment, I like at the end when they realize that one of the only ways to destroy this machine or reverse the machine, whatever it was to strap Dr. Destiny and Martian Manhunter back into the machine, and both of them are like, no, 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 we're not going to do that. And Batman's like, yes, you fucking are.
And then he's like, oh, and Aquaman, it's all up to you to keep Martian Manhunter in line. Have fun. Good luck. Don't fuck it up.
And he's like, you don't have a choice. And like, that is definitely Batman's role in this team is like, I'm going to tell you what needs to happen, and you're all going to listen to me, and you don't get a say. So. And hopefully so that'll
what if he what if he like kind of explained his rationale first, like, this is why you guys need to do this.
He doesn't have time for that. There's no time.
Ask for forgiveness later.
He does start No Man does start torturing the League individually at that point.
Is this the No Man's Land you keep hinting at, Jake? No, K-N-O-W Man's Land. Oh,
thank God that it's not.
That would be sad. Or
that would be one episode to get through it and keep going.
Speaking of Batman at the end of the book, we do get him very strongly hinting towards his future relationship with this series, which is, I'll be involved when I need to be, which I kind of like that. He's like, okay, this team is necessary. Y'all need me, but, you know,
you need me more every day. Than I need you.
Right? And I know, you know, that the Batman team has a lot going on right now and things are going to be happening. So I may pop in now and then. So.
I do love at the very last page where they're all flying in their big formation, but four of them have a green glow around them to show that Green Lantern is actually making them fly.
I feel like Batman would be really pissed.
I know, right? Batman should be here on the rock, like looking brooding, right? You know, the rest of them are off flying. Why does Aquaman need to fly through the air?
I don't know, but Aquaman's got his hand up with his hook. He's
into
it.
It.
Batman's body language is arms crossed, really annoyed.
Pretty great.
Totally into it. No,
you could tell I was done reading it because I didn't even catch that, Harold, until you just opened it back up now. And I was like, oh, it's green. That's cool.
Yeah. Yep.
I was like, oh, we're done reading.
Close. They poke a lot with Kyle. I guess Wally is still kind of young in this version of the Justice League, right? They poke a lot of them that they are like the teenagers of the league.
Yeah, so I think that's going to stay. They're going to be the youngins of the group and the most inexperienced. I did enjoy again like how it seemed like Wally knew that there was something wrong, like the flashes, because they vibrate at a different frequency than everybody else. They're always able to pick up on these big crisis events at a different rate, or they're able to be exempt from a lot of what's going on because they're not quite on our plane of existence, and keeping that, especially I know Mark Waid being a huge Flash writer would bring that into it. So
I did appreciate how Wally and Kyle freed themselves. That was nice. You know, it didn't have to like wait for Wonder Woman to come around.
Right.
Yeah. What did you think of the cute moment on the rooftop with Wonder Woman and Superman?
There we go. It looks like they kissed, but I guess they didn't.
It always looks like they almost kissed.
So scandalous. I thought it was sweet. I thought it made sense. The Batman and Aquaman was more random. I liked the scene, but him going to get Aquaman, I was like, what is their relationship? But Clark and Diana obviously make sense to me.
Yeah.
I like Diana's hair better in this scene than on the cover.
Not quite as frizzy.
Maybe she just came out of the shower.
She might have. She made it.
Also,
Arthur.
It's so frizzy, it kind of makes her look like she has really bushy underarm hair.
Mm. She's an Amazon. She can do what she wants.
She can do whatever she wants. But
that's fair. We ready for reviews?
Yeah, I think so.
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled. Right.
That was awesome.
Yes.
No!
I'll go first.
Final thoughts?
I'm glad I read it. I will not be reading it again. But I enjoy this team of the Justice League, and I'd never read this before. So I'm glad that we got it in there. But yeah, the best part for me was definitely the like human versions at the beginning. So, and the art was not great.
I would agree with you. I think the first issue where you're trying to figure out what the tie-in, why are they don't remember who they are, what's happening with everybody else turning super, I thought that was really good. The art was kind of eh in most of the parts, and the second half of the story was kind of formulaic and seen before. So not a have to read, but if you want to read more Justice League, it's definitely worth picking up if you like that.
And you're going to have to read more Justice League, Aaron.
Good. Great.
Yeah, because now he's a full-fledged member. Harold.
Sometimes, right?
Sometimes. When they need
him. I give it a solid meh. And then I could have taken it or leaving it. I really didn't care for the art, especially for the first two-thirds. There's a lot of other art stuff that I will just skip. I didn't care for the plot. At all.
This was your choice, right?
Yeah, he chose to do this book with us. Yes. Fair.
No, Jake just said this is what we're reading.
Oh, okay.
No,
oh,
I didn't choose this book.
Yes, you did. Did I have text messages?
He got receipts.
I said, here's a list. What do you want to read?
Oh, sure. Okay. You're right.
I
was given
two.
A multiple choice and I chose this. Yeah. No, that's fine. Because I actually hadn't read all of it. I only had the number two issue. So I was like, sure, this one I haven't read. Why not? We'll try it out. But yeah, so meh. It's also probably the time in my life when I was buying almost anything that was Justice League. Mm-hmm. And I feel like these and other titles like this started to like slap my hand because like maybe I need to see if it's worth like shelling out because it's a miniseries, right? And they were doing this a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I'm like, do I need to read this miniseries that's like whether it's going to be good or not, you know? So I feel like I started to learn my lesson about things like this. And not that to say that many, all of them were bad. Some of them were great, but like some of them weren't. And so I stopped like knee jerk reaction buying them because I had a Justice League on them from stuff like this.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. I thought it was a great setup and it was a really good hook and it just didn't quite stick the landing. I think it would have been maybe more interesting to not have such a big bad and maybe have some kind of parasite or something smaller where they realize on their own that yes, we're better together and we can do this if we all come together. I don't know, the big bad, especially introducing a big bad for a story like this that doesn't have any future payoff, just isn't worth it to me. But overall, like two-thirds of the book, really fun, really interesting. I didn't know where it was going when I started reading and I like that. I like being thrown off when I started into the book. And that had me hooked, and then I just had to sludge through the ending a little bit.
Fair. What's next, Jake?
Well, if you're reading along with us, we have another team-up coming. Go out and find book one and two, WF3, World's Finest Three.
Wow.
We'll talk about what three heroes are going to team up together.
Shut up.
For
That's not what it means. That's not what it means!
World's Finest Three.
All right.
What did we learn, Aaron?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Harold, pick one or two.
Number one or two?
Two.
We like to let Jake struggle as long as possible.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's kind of a theme in the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, Harold.
Yeah,
thanks for
thank
having
you very
me.
Much.
I'll have to try to lure, like, trick my way in again.
Oh, yeah, can, absolutely. If you make drinks that good every time, you can come whenever you want.
Right. Yeah, fair. I've got a big list, lots to read. Right. So,
anything you want to plug or say or promote?
Oh, for me personally, no. I don't have any social media ongoings right now.
But
so.
How is Jake's mother-in-law going to follow you?
Well, she can follow me on Facebook or Instagram. I just set it up to cross-post, so, you know, it's all there.
Perfect.
Nice.
Yeah, sure. Instagram. Yeah.
They know each other.
Instagram.
They met at the wedding. So
there we did. I did meet Jake's mother-in-law at Jake's wedding that I was in. Yes.
That's funny.
For the Brotherhood of Batman, I am Ben, your sunshine into Gotham. Thanks for listening.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm Jake, I'm the Miller Brother, and we'll let Harold have the final word. Thanks.
See you, everybody. Bye. Hopes of bitterness cleanse the city.